Wednesday at 12:20 means Grant McCauley joins the show. Braves Insider, host of From the Diamond, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, 855-299. Sold. Grant, how are you?
G-Mac.
You know, I just love that that song has kind of become a part of Andy and Randy.
Yeah.
Like, it's my gift to you.
Thank
to
you.
Get everybody kind of going, you know, just get fired up.
Yeah, no, you can
confident.
Tell. The people are going. They're driving around out there right now feeling real good.
Whenever we sing a song on an intro, we're pretty much into it.
We very much are guilty of this, but I don't care because I like it. Like, we get distracted by the rejoiner music a lot.
Yes.
Like, we spent 5 minutes talking about Marvin Gaye literally 20 minutes ago because of the song that Bo came back with.
Why not?
I once had a program director tell me not to do that because the listeners don't like it. And I was like, well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
there we are.
Well,
tough.
Yeah, not all program directors are created equal, right?
True. And Mike Conti loves it, so we'll keep doing it. Hey,
there we go.
Max Fried was really good last night.
What do you,
in the context of his beginning of the season and some of the starts that he's had, what do you think last night meant to him?
I think it just meant a return to form, really. I mean, in talking about it after the game last night and just hearing from him, I mean, it's. You don't want to overreact to a bad start or a slow start to the season, whatever the case may be, some struggles, and allow that to kind of get inside your head and maybe convince you that there's wholesale changes that need to be made, that kind of thing. I really felt like for him, it was just an execution standpoint. That was what he was trying to get back to. And last night, he was able to execute. He got a ton of ground balls, I believe 17 in total. He missed bats when he needed to. He let his defense do a lot of work behind him. And I know it was the Marlins and, you know, not one of the hottest offenses in all of baseball, but I don't care who you are. Throwing a complete game shutout in 2024, that's not an easy thing. Not that it was easy to do before this year, but they're rare now. So the fact that he was able to work his way in, do it in under 100 pitches and in about 2 hours or less than 2 hours, all of that adds up to it just being the kind of confidence-building start that I'm sure Max Fried was looking for.
Grant, what is the deal with, or do you, any reasoning behind the shifting of Michael Harris with Isaac Epp being out, putting Garcia at two, him at two, eight, all those different things? Is there a specific reason in your mind why they're doing that?
Yeah, just facing the lefty. They're giving Arcia, who's off to a good start, the opportunity as a right-handed hitter to hit a little bit higher in the order. And then when they face the righties, we've seen Michael Harris bounce back up there and start batting second. So we're probably in the latter stages of seeing these guys batting second because Ozzie could be back by the end of the week. But overall, I think it's just giving opportunity and rewarding a guy like Arcia, who has been one of the Braves' best hitters in the early going, giving him more at bats.
I was going to ask you about that, about Ozzie injury update and also Sean Murphy as well.
Yeah, not much to report on Murphy. He has been throwing and doing some baseball activities, but as of the start of the homestand, and I haven't heard anything differently, has not begun swinging a bat yet, certainly not taking batting practice. That is the opposite of what's going on with Ozzie Albies, though, who at the start of the homestand, you just kind of wondered when he would resume baseball activities, and he is pretty much at a full go at this point. I think doing some running, checking that box this week, making sure that toe is good for that will be kind of the last step, and he could be off the injured list by Friday, which – that's quite a turnaround from thinking you're going to lose him for weeks and weeks to he could be back inside of the 10-day IL stint. That is quite a development for the Braves in the best possible way.
I mean, I know he was good, but a little nervous at first myself talking about yesterday, the day before yesterday. Bryce Eldridge coming back up, right? What'd you assess about his performance?
I thought he looked good, and I thought it was the Bryce Elder that we expect to see, you know, working on the margins of the strike zone is where he's really successful, getting hitters off balance. He has a good slider. And, you know, he was able to, like I said with Max Fried, execute his game plan. First three hitters, they jumped on him a little bit early. Some bad base running bailed him out in the first. And, you know, that was about as much trouble as Bryce Elder got in the entire night. And I think that he's kind of one of those pitchers, at least I've noted, that if you don't get him early or in one of those big innings where you have him on the ropes, you might not get him there again. And that, I think, speaks to the kind of pitcher that he is and what he can do for this Braves rotation. And that's helped stabilize things. Just give you a quality start. Cover those six innings. Give the offense a chance to do its thing. You're going to win a lot of baseball games if you're Bryce Elder.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy talking some Braves. Nice win last night over the Marlins, 5-0. Max Fried goes the distance with the Maddox. Game under 2 hours. We love every bit of it. Do you think that Travis d'Arnaud is so hot at the plate right now that they might have to alter a little bit of the plans that they have with rotating the catchers and getting guys rest and stuff like that? Because I don't know how you could not have d'Arnaud in the lineup every day right now.
I mean, I think the big thing is, and Brian Snitker talked about this, is as much as you'd like him to play every single day, you just have to be cognizant that, you know, it is a long season. It is a demanding position. And when you think about Travis d'Arnaud, 35 years old, and the fact that, yeah, he is hitting, and I'm sure he wants to play as much as possible. Giving him that day every now and then, you know, every 3 or 4 days, is just going to have to be part of just keeping him, you know, lined up the way that you want him to, keeping him healthy, not overdoing it. And so that's why, you know, you'll see Chadwick Trump get those starts, you know, every couple of 3 days, just to make sure that Travis d'Arnaud's not getting completely and totally overbooked in the month of April, particularly with no Sean Murphy. Mm-hmm. If it was and to be honest, though, I don't really know that you're not going to stop playing Sean Murphy just because Travis d'Arnaud gets hot, or vice versa. You still have to find at-bats and opportunities for each of these guys, because they're all important to the overall success of the team. And as I've said many, many times, how many clubs across baseball would love to have, you know, Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud as their catching tandem, knowing that, you know, for 29 other clubs, either of these guys, I think, could be a starter.
What's going on with the Matt Olson? You know, because, I mean, he is struggling a little bit. And sometimes, Grant, just like you always talk about, sometimes baseball just happens and it's still early and all mm-hmm. those different things. Are you seeing anything different in his approach? Because, I don't know if it was last year or the year before when he was going through a little struggle bus. Also, they moved him down the line. Do you see that maybe as a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, he went through some struggles each of the last couple of years, or some slumps, and I think that just kind of speaks to the 162. It is going to happen, and as cliche as that may sound, mm-hmm. nobody for 162 games, plus, you know, if you play well enough as a team, you get to play another month if all goes well, is going to go through all those games without having some extended period of just trying to grind your way through something. And that's just where Matt Olson is right now. I know he's in an 0-for slump that's, 25, 26 at-bats now. I'm sure he'd love to get that monkey off his back as soon as possible. Has been drawing some walks, you know, driving the ball, a couple sacrifice flies here and there. That's not really going to make folks feel great about the offer, but I don't really feel like he's that far off. I mean, he doesn't look lost, at least not to me. There have just been some at-bats where maybe he's just not quite, you know, where he needs to be, you know, from a approach standpoint. You know, maybe he's getting crossed up a little bit, and sometimes you got to tip your cap to the pitcher in those cases. But I don't really see anything that's alarming as far as that's concerned. You'd just like to see a couple of base hits fall, sure. Regardless of how hard they're hit. Their line drives in the box score, it'll start to make you feel a little bit different when that batting average starts to rise again.
Grant, what's your general position on baseball umpires and the use of tech, or maybe the needed use of technology? Like, where do you stand on some of that conversation?
I have lots of thoughts about that, and if we had more time, I might get into all of them.
You got,
but
like 2 minutes.
I do feel like, you know, and not to even take up the entire 2 minutes, at least I say that before I get started. I think that the technology can be used to supplement and to improve things in that regard. I know from a player standpoint, and even hearing from Spencer Strider, you know, about a week ago, you know, the strike zone is important, but the perception of the strike zone, you know, outside of the game and inside of the game are really two different things. And I think everybody would just like to see consistency, and not just consistency in terms of there's a box on the screen, it's got to be in that box, but from umpire to umpire, if you kind of know what you're getting and know what the zone is, I'm more or less okay with that, if that's what it is, as long as it's consistent. It can't look one way in the top of the inning and a different way in the bottom of the inning. And I know that they're human beings, but they are testing out that, you know, automated ball strike challenge system in the minors. I would be interested to see that at the big league level, and they wouldn't be doing it down there if they weren't thinking about making change. So once that happens, you know, we're not sticking a robot behind home plate. I know that's kind of the joke, and we're not asking these people to be perfect all the time, because they are, in fact, people. But there are some strike zones that are so far and away awful that it just can't happen in Major League Baseball. I'm tired of seeing that.
And you know what, Grant? I'm one of those people who talk about the robots, and I'm going to have this question. If one of the robots, say, for instance, went like got like Angel Hernandez's like personality, do you think that like it would be a point where we would have to like get locked and loaded as humans?
Are we talking about like a Terminator situation?
Yes. Where like the if the robots turn on,
if the robot is Angel Hernandez, it turns on.
Is
everybody.
Baseball prepared for that?
Are they prepared?
I mean, no, I don't think so. But look, so not everybody loves robots. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Rocky IV. Sylvester Stallone went back and cut the robot out of that movie and re-released it. And that I found to be both alarming and kind of sad.
Really? So you're talking about the one with the sexy voice robot?
Yeah, Pauly's girlfriend. Just gone.
You just referenced that robot.
I referenced that yesterday.
Yesterday.
I didn't know she was.
Or Monday. One of the 2 days.
Well, there's a cut out there of this movie where that robot is no longer a part of it. I have not watched that. I will not support that.
I will
kind
not
of erasure,
support that either, Grant.
Yeah, we can't just rewrite
there's
history.
There's no way
we could do that.
I'm not on board with that one.
Grant, thank you.
Appreciate it, G.
Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Happy to help out with the discourse.